Hey, this is Susie Larson. If you don't have time to listen to the full podcast, here's a highlight from today's show. The full conversation is at myfaithradio.com.
I think it's so easy to get caught up in the Christian, we need to love everybody and forgive everybody, that we don't teach, especially young women, but even young men, how to be wise and discerning and selecting good partners, to understand what a healthy relationship looks like. And so we sort of believe these love myths that love conquers all, or that if I'm just, you know, a better person, keep forgiving and keep trying harder, somehow they'll come around. And sometimes, a lot of times, that doesn't work. It actually makes things worse. And so it's really important for us to be really smart and wise about what God says. He says when you hang around with angry people, you become angry like them. When you hang around with fools, you become foolish like them. And so people do influence us for good and for bad. And it's very important that we understand what makes healthy relationships work so that we can be more cautious about destructive ones.
And that's one of the things I appreciate so much about you and Greg Smalley, is that you really both believe, and I agree so wholeheartedly, that we can actually, we engage our discernment, but there's actually relationship tools and skills we can learn to better function in relationships. And then, of course, the virtues and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, those are so important. But they're just tangibles that we can have and use to walk out our relationships that can make a difference, you know?
Absolutely, and learning what those are. And, you know, just three really quick ingredients in a healthy relationship: mutuality. If anyone who's listening is just picking a new friend, let's not talk even about marriage for a minute. Let's just talk, you're picking a new girlfriend, and, you're watching her in Bible study and think, gee, I'd really like to get to know this person. You know, the ingredients that we need to make a good friendship are mutuality. Are both people contributing to the relationship? Are both people being responsible to maintain and repair it? Are both people caring? Are both people being honest? Because it takes two to form a good relationship. Is there reciprocity? Is there a give and take? Or are you being the giver and the other person's being the taker? And then the third ingredient, is there freedom? Is there the freedom to be yourself? Is there the freedom to speak up? Is there the freedom to say no? Is there the freedom to disagree without a price to pay? And if those three ingredients in any way are missing from a relationship, it is not healthy. And if they're missing in big ways, that relationship can be destructive.
Wow, so good. Well, you open the book at the first or second chapter, you talk about two scenarios, and you made a distinction between a disappointing marriage and a destructive one. I feel like that's so important, because in our disappointment, we could think it's destructive, it may not be. So make the distinction for us between a disappointing marriage and a destructive one.
Okay, and let me just put one more D in there. I think there's a difference between a difficult marriage, a disappointing marriage, and a destructive marriage.
Oh, that's
so
good.
A difficult marriage would be one in which there's a lot of outside pressures, like financial, maybe you have a child with autism, gender differences, personality differences. One person likes to save, another person likes to spend. You have different values. You may have different faiths. And it causes some real difficulties. Blended family issues causes some real difficulties. But if a couple is respectful and they're mature and they have the fruit of the Spirit, difficult doesn't have to turn into destructive. It's just difficult. A disappointing marriage is one in which I say to all my premarital counseling clients, nobody gets all 52 cards in the deck when you marry somebody. So it's really helpful if you know which cards are missing before you marry someone.
Good analogy.
they may be really important cards, but nobody gets the perfect spouse. And so oftentimes when you thought, like Beth Moore said, I thought I was Barbie and he was Ken, and when I woke up from my dream, marriage, it wasn't the dream marriage after all. You realize that this person isn't all you thought they were. They don't have all the qualities you want. Maybe they're not as ambitious, and so you're not making as much money and you don't live in a nice house. Maybe they're not as spiritual, not as sexual, whatever the thing is missing, they're not as handy. That is disappointing, but it's not necessarily destructive. There's no abuse, there's no deceit, there's no unfaithfulness. It's just that it's not as exciting. It's not an A-plus marriage. It's a C-plus marriage, maybe a C-minus marriage. But how you handle that disappointment can make it destructive if you choose to sin, complain, abuse your spouse because they're not all you want them to be. But a destructive marriage goes way beyond difficult or disappointing. A destructive marriage is devastating to the very personhood of the other, because it's one in which the other person is regularly dominated, deceived, demeaned, disrespected, diminished, and dismissed. And those things take their toll on the very personhood of the other.
And you wrote that as a counselor, you've grown increasingly troubled by the advice these hurting women have received from counselors, Christian leaders, and pastors. So what kinds of advice are we talking about here?
Well, I work a lot with women in destructive marriages, and oftentimes they're told, to pray harder, to try harder to be more loving, try harder to be forgiving, try harder to, you know, have more sex with him, try harder to make him happy, try harder not to push his buttons, lots of different try harders. But that is absolutely the wrong advice for a woman in this situation. For a woman in a different kind of marriage problem, that might be excellent advice. But for a woman who's in a destructive marriage, it is bad, bad advice. And let me tell you why. It feeds two lies. The first lie is that somehow it gives her hope that, okay, if I can do it right, if I can get my act together, if I can be the perfect wife, if I can be submissive enough, or I can be loving enough, or if I can be sexual enough, then he won't do these things to hurt me. He won't cheat on me. He won't lie to me. He won't watch pornography. He won't hit me. He won't take money and be irresponsible for it. And that's putting her in charge of his life, and that's not possible. She can't manage his life. And so the lie is, if I do this, then he will stop doing that, and he will love me like God calls him to. And oftentimes, many times, most of the time, that doesn't happen in destructive marriages.
Thanks again for listening to this highlight from Live the Promise. If you missed the whole show or want to listen to past programs, you can find them at our website at myfaithradio.com.